Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on June 1st, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning. We're in full-on June gloom, aren't we?
Well, I guess, yeah. Yesterday, wow, it got cold, and then it was okay, and then it got cold again.
It got really cold. You know, it's funny, you're right, because I had school in the afternoon, and at that point, like noonish, it was warm enough. I put on, you know, a short-sleeve shirt and a skirt, and
yeah.
And then an hour later, I was freezing. It was weird.
Of course, I was at the beach farmers market in Hermosa from 1 to 6 on Wednesdays. And we just thought it was going to be overcast, even sprinkled a little bit. Like 1 to 2, but then it stopped, then it got nice, and then it got really cold.
Yeah, you know something funny? That's funny you mentioned that, because I went out in my backyard to water my tomato plants, and there were big, fat raindrops falling on me.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I was like, where did that come from? You know, it was just, it was very, very strange, yeah, and as you said, later on, it got very, very cold, which was, again, just weird. And it looks like we're in for another day of the same, huh?
I guess. But the weekend is going to be really nice. It looks nice.
Are you sure?
Still with a little, a marine layer. But it's going to be nice inland, of course, and there will be sun, I think. I'm looking forward to what?
From your lips to God's ears.
I hope. Yes.
So this morning we had a guest scheduled. We've been calling him, but he's not answering the phone. It was supposed to be Chef Michael Schaefer of the Depot. But we left him a message, and if he gets the message, he can call in. I hope he does. I hope he does, because he is a big figure in the South Bay and a very interesting guy, incredibly talented guy. Would love to have him on the show. So I hope he does call in. Michael, if you can hear this, please call in. But in the meantime...
Yeah.
You want to talk? You want to talk current events? You want to talk about what's been in the news lately? Did you hear about the home invasion robbery in Torrance this week?
No.
Yeah, there was a home invasion robbery, and fortunately, an alert neighbor saw something weird, called the police, and the police captured the two guys. One of them was wanted, I may be a little wrong, but I believe he was wanted for murder in Colorado.
Right.
But it was an elderly woman that lived by herself. These two guys, and they were young. I think they were like 17 and 19 or something like that. And they did a home invasion robbery, and fortunately, the police got them.
It's in the LA Times online. Torrance home invasion involved Colorado teen who's wanted for murder.
Well,
Wow.
yeah. Awful, but thank
Wow,
goodness for
wow.
alert neighbors, right? I mean,
Right.
something, say something.
Right. Okay. Well,
17,
that's
17, 17-year-old wanted for murder. 17 years
right.
old.
Right.
It's very sad.
Right. Wow. It's you know what? And I'll have to say, Jackie, at this point, with such a piece of news, 20, 15, 20, whatever the number is, million people in the greater Los Angeles area, the vast majority of which this will not affect. But we're telling people about it. The news, if it leads, it bleeds. That has to change. I think that our media
No,
has to change. I'm not.
it's if
What?
it bleeds, it leads. You said if
Correct.
it
I'm
leads,
sorry.
it
What
bleeds.
did I say?
If
Oh.
you back but did it backwards. You said if it leads, it bleeds. It's I believe it's if it bleeds, it leads, right?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
And I think that whatever you think about Donald Trump and what he's doing, he is highlighting the fact that media and our society is so critical to our political institutions and to our sense of well-being. And I think media needs to change on that score. We hear about too many horrible things that affect too few people, yet the entire society is subjected to those stories, and we need more positive stories out there, and they're out there. We don't have to manufacture those. There's no fake news here. There's lots of good stuff happening every day in every community.
I
So that's my
agree. I
little rant.
agree. I agree. I agree. But I don't think that's going to change anytime soon with, especially social media. We all used to get our news from the news, from the news channels and from the papers. Not anymore. Today, I think a majority of, well, at least a certain demographic are getting their news from social media, Twitter and Facebook and other things. And yeah, it's just it's just sad.
Right. Agreed, agreed. So, what else is going on?
Well, I'm sure. Well, you've been working like a dog.
Oh.
I called you yesterday. You were out at the farm. You're out at the farmer's market. We
Right.
talked late last night, and you're still working. And so, I don't know how much news you actually get to see. I work. Yeah, I sit at my desk. Unless I'm out at an event or something, I'm at my desk. Working on my computer, and I have a TV in the background, so I can hear the news. I keep it on the news channel, and so I can hear what's going on. But yesterday was it was all Kathy Griffith all day yesterday, and it looks like it's
Oh,
continuing
good.
this morning. Did you see any of that coverage?
Yes, I did, and I think it's that everyone, including Chelsea Clinton, is closing ranks and saying, no, that's not okay. And I agree. And that has to be said. That no, you can, well, as my wife said, a fat, naked statue of Donald Trump in several cities, that's okay. That's freedom of expression. But something like that from Kathy Griffith on television or on her show, it's not okay because it mirrors almost and I guess that was her point, right? It mirrors the kind of media that the Taliban does, or
that was her only audience for that. I mean,
right.
That would be the only audience
right.
that would appeal to, because
right.
everybody,
yeah.
yeah, that would. That was her audience for that, the Taliban and ISIS and people that think like that. But it was tasteless. It was tasteless. And
right.
you know, it's interesting because do you remember a couple of years ago there was a movie? I think it was called The Interview. It was a comedy. I think
yeah.
it was like Seth Rogen
or what's his name?
Right. Yeah, I think that was him, Seth Rogen. And they were going
yeah.
to interview, was it the guy in North Korea?
Yeah, Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
And then I guess the CIA approached them and said, you got to assassinate him or something like that. You remember what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, 2014.
Yeah, yeah. And Oh, it was that long ago. Okay, it was 3 years ago. Okay.
2014.
Well,
Seth and James Franco.
Right. There was a big brouhaha about that, about you can't go around making movies, even if it's a comedy, especially of a standing leader of a country. And,
right.
you know, he's no friend of ours. That you know, he's no friend of
right.
the USA. But people were up in arms over that as well.
Well, it was kind of over the top, especially since that had occurred just after, I believe, or just before, when North Korea was accused of hacking Sony and stealing a bunch of emails and information from Sony, and there was a lot of consternation about that, and so you don't want to, you know, poke a tiger. You know,
yeah.
it's just not a good thing because then retaliation, and this is serious business. These are world actors that have no compunction about killing their own people, murdering their own people, starving their own people.
Yeah.
In en masse. You know, don't play with that. It's not appropriate for comedy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one thing if you were to do some sort of story about a leader that's long gone. You know, if you were going to do something on Stalin or you know, but people that are alive, you're making a movie about assassinating. I don't know. It's just not in good taste. But she took it way further than that. But you want to know what's interesting? You know, mentioning the Sony hacks. The Sony hacks happened before the Hillary Clinton and DNC email thing,
yeah.
right? That
yeah.
happened, yeah.
Yeah.
The one big lesson I learned from that, and I'm going to live with it till my dying day, ever put anything in writing that could come back and bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
Or leave a recording of it. You know, don't leave a snarky message on somebody's answering machine or voicemail. Answering machine. Listen to me. Answering machine or voicemail. And when I say don't put anything in writing, I'm talking about emails, texts, messaging, any social media platform. We all react. You know, when something happens, we all react to it. It's very impulsive. You know, I've learned to curb those impulses and think through before posting anything because it'll come back to bite you in the ass. I mean, you may not think of it in your 20s. You know, in your 20s, you might put something out there. But 15 years later, you might be running for assembly member or a city council position or, you know, and it'll come back. It's out there. Once it's out there forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so glad that I grew up in a time
That's
where
interesting.
This wasn't
I wonder if that will affect.
You're cutting in and out on me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear. Yeah, I can hear you okay spottily, but I mean, I was just waiting for it to settle down. It might settle down on its own.
Okay, I can hear you a bit better now. That's weird. What's causing that?
Good. Okay. Good, good, good.
Are we back?
I don't know. I'm trying to make sure that I don't have any additional tabs open on my browser. And we are. We're here. We didn't go anywhere.
All right. All right. Okay. All right. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what develops with the whole Kathy Griffin thing. I can see,
now,
you know, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Basically, I rushed, and, you know, other Trump, you know, loyalists and Jared Kushner and all that. I think that's a healthy thing for the country, is to focus on something that we can all agree on. And so hopefully this will be the beginning of some more sanity on the side of, you know, the White House. They'll have a little bit more control of their messaging, and it'll be better.
Well, you know, I listen to talk radio and I watch the news and stuff, and I always hear about the messaging. Messaging can become a real issue when you've got a president with a smartphone and a Twitter account. I mean, you know, in the past. It's always been highly controlled. You know, this is our message. These are our talking points. You know, we're all on the same page. But as I said, I mean, you've got the, and President Trump, he's a character, you know?
Yeah. And that's not going to change. And I hope he does not. Let's talk about something real. I hope he does not pull out of the Paris climate agreement, and not because of the reason that most people would guess, not because, I believe that climate change is real. Humans have changed the climate of the planet. That's not important, even though it's a fact. What's important is that many American companies have said that this Paris agreement allows us to participate in a global clean energy, clean water, marketplace, and that we want American jobs and American companies to compete in this global marketplace, and we can compete very well. And pulling out of the agreement, we're only cutting off our own, cutting off our nose to spite our face. It's not that onerous in terms of the regulations, and it's a huge win for many, many sectors of the economy. Microsoft has written letters. GE has written letters. I think Elon Musk said he would potentially resign from the Presidential Technology Council if we pull out of the Paris Accords, because his whole business is like, you know, electric cars and batteries for homes and trying to reduce climate change.
Well, I disagree with you. I don't think it is in our country's best interest to be a part of that for several reasons. Now, as I understand it, this is what they're attempting to do is they have goals. This isn't anything hard and fast. They have goals that within 100 years, mind you, they want to lessen the temperature by something like 0.2% of 1 degree, something like that. I'm not sure of the numbers. And it's not like if you don't get there, there's going to be any kind of punishment. What the heck is the word I'm looking for when you try to – you say you got to get to this by this date. Sanctions. Right, right. So it's a couple of hundred countries sitting around saying, okay, this is our goal in 100 years to lessen global warming by some ridiculously – small percentage than what it is now. And on the other hand, it also would involve us spending a bunch of money for two other countries. We're going to be paying for the lion's share. We're going to be paying for the lion's share of this accord. We always pay for the lion's share of everything, all right? Whether it's military or whatever, all right? But it's going to cost us a ton of money to be a part of something that, personally, me, I don't see the benefit. The rate of return on this is nothing for us. I think it's a big loss for us. I don't think we should be a part of it. There's a lot of different aspects to it. The companies are involved in new generation power, solar, wind, algae farms, whatever, they get basically what are grants from the government to do this stuff. And if we sign that accord, it's like a blank check for these people. If we don't sign the accord, it's like, okay, you want to do this, go out and do it yourself. So Elon Musk is not on board with it because he's going to lose a lot of government funding. When companies go out and they try new things and they say, hey, this could be a new power source, they can get money from the government. And that's what a lot of these, did you see yesterday that stock on solar panels dropped, because of this? That's been something all along that, solar, it's not cost effective yet. And these companies are able to do what they do because the government is paying them to. If we sign this, that's going to continue. If we don't sign it, at some point, maybe, the carousel will stop and they'll have to get off and fend for themselves. So, of course, Elon Musk is going to be, into that. So, yeah, I don't agree. Sure. I don't think we should. I don't think there's any upside for the United States on this. I really don't. We are already doing a lot to lessen greenhouse gases. We have a lot of regulations in place, the environment, the EPA and stuff. I don't think it's a good deal for us. Quite frankly, we get, snockered on every deal that involves other countries because it's always our wallet on the table. And quite frankly, with all that money, I can think of a lot of things that need to be done in this country. Why not take that money and put it to Medicaid, Social Security, bolster those programs. I mean, there's still people starving. We still have, a healthcare crisis. There's a lot of stuff that I would much rather take that money and use it for. So that's what I think.
Now, let's say I stipulate to everything you've said, and we just flat out agree that everything you've said is absolutely 100% true. Now, is it possible if everything you've said is 100% true, and it's also 100% true that the climate is changing because of the efforts of men, that we should participate in the agreement not because it's not expensive, not because America isn't paying the lion's share and it may not be 100% like fair in terms of financial, but that it's the right thing to do for our children's 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 children because we're destroying the planet. Is that possible?
I think we will do better on our own. I don't see us. I think that we will do better on our own. I don't want to be connected to anybody else. I want USA first. I'm an American. I want to do what's in our best interest. And I believe that cleaning up the environment is in our best interest. I think we can do a better job of it without being our hands tied and having to put a bunch of money to other countries. Sure, Nicaragua is on board, or not Nicaragua, Guatemala, Mexico, who's ever on board with this, you know, they're not going to be doing the investing that we are.
There are actually only two countries that are not on board.
Nicaragua and what's the other one?
Syria.
Yeah. They don't have the infrastructure. They don't have what we have. You know, I'm just tired of paying everybody else's bills.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really tired of it. And again, that whole 100-year goal is not a real goal for me. If you want to get these countries together to do something and say, okay, let's do this. In 25 years, you have to do this, 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 and this. And if you don't, you're going to be sanctioned or you're going to have to pay fines or something. You know, make it real.
Yeah.
A goal is not, there are going to be plenty of countries that aren't going to do anything. And there's no ramifications if they don't. So, you know, I think it's all very pie in the sky. Yeah, sure, it's good intentions.
It's the first agreement. Rome wasn't built in a day. You get everyone in a structure, and then you modify the structure over time. That's kind of the standard modus operandi for all international agreements, is that you get a structure in place, like the UN, 1947, and then you modify it over time to get better and do better and whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think we can do better on our own. I think we can do better on our own. I don't want our hands tied, and I certainly don't want to pay for everybody else.
Well, we're going to find out pretty soon. Donald Trump has pretty much said that he's going to announce his decision very soon. So we should find out maybe this week, maybe next week. But we're waiting. And we are anxious to find out. We are.
Yeah. I don't think it does much for us, you know.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit of an isolationist at heart.
Okay. There are a lot of reasons to be that, because of course things are good here compared to the rest of the world. Even Europe, when it comes to many issues, things are really good here because, I mean, God, you know, we have a lot of people. We think we have a lot of people, but we have 300 million people. And you've been to Utah. You've been to Montana, right?
Idaho.
Those 300 million people aren't in Idaho.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of open space still in America, and we are blessed by God, and sea to shining sea. But the rest of the world has other challenges that we don't, and the challenges we have, they don't. But our challenges are more of our own making. For instance, there are hungry children in America, and this is not necessary. There are hungry children in the United States of America, and simply not necessary. I mean, like we were just saying, most international agreements that we're a party to, we are usually paying a significant portion, if not an uneven portion, of the bill. But when it comes to our own domestic issues, like childhood hunger. It is absolutely not necessary. I would like,
hopefully,
to see eliminate that entirely, and then figure out.
Well, okay, so
why
you're on board with me.
Let's
take that $100 trillion or whatever it is we're going to spend on this over the next 100 years, and let's solve our own problems at home first. Let's make sure all the kids are fed and housed. Let's make sure everybody has great health care. Let's get our own house in order before we start putting other people's houses in order.
Can we have single-payer health plan?
You know, the whole health insurance thing, you know, this is really funny, Joe. In our home, I handle
We haven't had this discussion on the air before.
I know. It's so not South Bay.
No.
Oh, I know. But it's national, so affects everybody in the South Bay. We're trying something different, you know?
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So anyway, so in our home, in our household, I am in charge of all the finances, all right? I make sure all the bills get paid. I handle everything. I keep all the files and everything. I'm quite good at it, all right? I was an accountant for many, many years. but when it comes, and John and I had our own business for many years. And when we had our own business, you know, we paid everything. We had our own private insurance and, you know, everything. That insurance was the one thing that I said to John one day, I said, I'm done with this. I'm not dealing with this health insurance stuff anymore. You're in charge. And he looked at me like the world just ended. But I just said to him, I said, every day you get stuff in the mail, things change, we're making adjustments, this premium went up, you know, and I'm like, this is insanity. There's so much paperwork generated with insurance alone that it just made me crazy. And so I handed it off to him. I said, you're in charge. You're in charge of figuring out auto, home, health, everything. I said, I'm done with insurance. I said, I'll do everything else. I'll even take up your chores. I'll take out the trash. You know, I'll rake the backyard. I said, but I am not doing insurance anymore. I said, that's yours. I said, I'm done with it. So don't ask me about insurance. It's one thing. You know how there's just some things you just refuse to do?
Yeah. And how's that working out?
Well, he handled it. You know, he takes care of it. I have nothing to do. Anything that comes in with an insurance company name or logo on it goes right on his desk. I don't even open it.
Yeah. The thing about it is, I mean, now, you know, healthcare for us, and we're older, so healthcare for us is somewhat simpler, but for younger people, it's a huge portion of their income, and they're building their lives, they're building their fortunes, they're building, you know, their future, and healthcare is just not one of those things. And also, of course, Jackie, from my perspective, healthcare is out of control here in this country because our diet is out of control. The standard American diet, SAD, S-SAD. Mm. The standard American diet is too heavy in meat and dairy, and not nearly enough emphasis on vegetables and fruits and whole foods. Please support your local farmers. Go to the farmer's market and buy food there. That's a commercial. Go to your local farmer's market and buy food there.
Plug Farmer Joe.
We need to change our how we eat, and then healthcare will fix itself, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Food is your medicine. Food as medicine.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. No, right. I agree with you there. But health care costs are just insane. You know, I remember, I was born with the bad dental genes, I have friends that have never, you know, done anything with their teeth, and they have a great set of teeth. I wasn't born with a great set of teeth. So all my life I've dealt with dental issues. You know, I probably have about 11 crowns, you know, I have an implant, you know. So I remember when, and it wasn't that long ago, a crown cost $500, and your insurance paid about $450 of it. Well, the last couple of crowns I had were $1,700. And the insurance barely picks up $500 of it.
Wow.
Now what I want to know is how much has it changed to make a crown that the price has gone up so much? Are they making them out of titanium? And isn't it true across the board that, you know, when something's new, it's always expensive? Remember when the first LED TVs and the first smartphones, they were really expensive. But after they've been out for a while, the price drops. Shouldn't that be true with dental stuff, with medical stuff? Shouldn't that be true? Why would the price of a crown keep going up if the technology is there to make it cheaper and easier? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right, right. I don't know. I think you're right about that. We're in a world where decisions are not being made based on what's best for the patients. It's what's best for the system.
Well, it's what's best for the stockholders.
Yeah, okay. They're part of the system, not what's best for the patients. And that's got to change.
I mean, seriously, think about it. 50 years ago, there was probably an assembly line with several dozen people making crowns, right? There's no assembly lines anymore, or very few. It's all machine now.
Right.
I know that those machines are probably more expensive than hiring people. Well, maybe not today with the health insurance and everything else. Who knows? But you buy the machine, and it lasts you 20 years, and you amortize the cost. It should be cheaper, and it's not. It just keeps getting more and more expensive. So, yeah, basically, you know, at the very foundation, there's something very, very wrong.
Right. Right. I don't know. I don't know.
And
I think,
you know, and this is
what?
This is my biggest hope for President Trump. It really, really is. All right. You know, he's a businessman, and he's a successful businessman. And he watches the bottom dollar, you know, he watches it. And we've all heard the stories about Washington, you know, spending in Washington is out of control, you know, $500 for a toilet seat, you know, $250 for a plunger. I mean, you know, and I know that he's already appointed people, heads of different departments to go in and clean house, you know, and knowing him, you know, what I know of him, he would be the type of guy that would go in to the division of the Army that takes care of, say, the carpools, right, the mechanics. You know, and he's that person that would walk in there and say, oh, what do you do? What do you do? How do you do that? And he's like, okay, this piece, what is this? How much did you pay for this wrench? Go to the accounting office. How much did this wrench cost? And when he sees the price, he's like, get a new contract or somebody else. We're not paying that much money. That's the biggest hope that I have for President Trump, because if he does that, if he cleans house, and not only that, you got to think of the superfluous stuff. I mean, everybody on the Hill has 28 aides, right, and assistants, you know? Seriously, you know, and not only that, a lot of government workers, you know, once they're in that position, you know, they're not going anyplace. They're there for life, you know? You know, time to clean house, time to bring it. My biggest hope is that he's an efficiency expert and he comes in and he cleans house and he cuts the costs. That's what needs to be done.
Right.
If he could have every department across all federal government, all departments, just if he did that, we wouldn't have any national debt. We would be able to fund all of these programs. I mean, does that make sense?
Well, okay. I mean, yeah. Okay, I'm not 100% on board with what Trump is doing, but there are some things that he's doing. For instance, of all the things that he's doing in terms of cutting the budgets here and there and there, he is increasing the budget for the Veterans Administration. There are some things that he in his program that he is doing that I am 110% behind, and it is reorienting our priorities. But hopefully, along the way, the priorities are reoriented properly so that we don't hurt people. Like there's a bunch of things like the Appalachian. Valley Authority or something like that. Something about Appalachia.
The Water Authority. The rivers and dams. The Tennessee
Valley
Tennessee Authority. Water Authority?
Maybe.
Tennessee Valley Water Authority? Something like that, yeah.
There are some things that he's doing that is going to hurt people. Like in Kentucky went hard and strong for Trump. And many of these people are going to be hurting if these programs are cut. So I hope these things are arranged so that, you know, a little bit more, I guess, compassion goes into them. Ultimately, the as you say, the calculus of cleaning house is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you clean house, you know, somebody's going to suffer to a certain extent. But it's no different than what happened when the internet, you know, and technology started happening. I mean, the internet changed so many different industries. It put some of them out of business altogether. I mean, I had a couple of nephews that worked in the commodities exchange, you know, down on Wall Street, you know, where they, you know, these guys were high flying, making a ton of money, blah, blah, blah. And the internet basically made them obsolete, and they closed the commodities exchanges. They closed the floors.
Right.
So all right. those guys were out of jobs, you know, and, you know, it happens, you know, when was the last time you saw a payphone on the street? You know, most people don't even have hard lines in their homes anymore. I mean, when you think, you know, what's happening in retail, you know, a lot of shops are closing or downsizing because people are buying. But, you know, you have to be able to change. You know, you have to, if you're not nimble enough to change, you're going to get left behind. You know, it's constant. You constantly have to re-educate yourself. You got to be ready because nothing is guaranteed anymore. You know, back in the day, you know, my mother and father, they worked for companies for 40 years. They retired. They had a pension. You know, I don't know anybody that works for a company for 5 years, much less 30 or 40 years anymore. You know, things have changed. Things have changed, and you have to get on board and go with it. If you sit there, you know, there's some great analogies about water and rocks and change and all that stuff, but you're going to get left behind. And sure, there are going to be people that are going to be put out of jobs and stuff. You know, you mentioned Elon Musk before. You know, he's doing these roof tiles, solar roof tiles. Boy, oh boy, I'm reading up on that.
Right.
I'm ready. I told John I want to go sign up for them. But all those companies that build regular asphalt shingles, you know, stuff like that, you know, they're going to lose a lot of business. They're going to lose a lot of business.
Right.
So, you know, if they're not thinking about it already, they should have been thinking about it several years ago. But if they're not thinking about what they're going to do, you know, to stay in business, they're going to be out of business.
It's wonderful that you brought that up. That is one of those ideas, because so many homes, thousands and tens of thousands of homes are being reshingled, or new homes are being built every year. And he realized that by changing that industry, he could change the rate at which, you know, the percentage of homes that have solar, he could change that rate dramatically by inventing and supporting research in solar shingles. And I think, yeah, like you say, that's going to be an amazing thing for people to do, because their home will look normal. There won't be any, you know, ugly solar on their home, and yet they're going to be producing power and saving money. What's better
exactly.
about that? I mean, what could be better?
Okay, and when that's no,
awesome.
it's what's happening with the electric cars now. You know, you know, the gas company, you know, the oil companies, this is competition for them. And because they're so big and have so much power and money that they've been able to fight it. You know, remember that movie, Who Killed the Electric Car, that came out? That was a couple of dozen years ago, you know, but that same thing. So Joe, if you were a roofer, if you were a roofing material manufacturer, what would you be doing now?
A roofing, I'd be trying to compete with Elon Musk. That's what I'd try to do.
Yeah, or find another use for what you build. If you can't change what you build, then find another use for it. You know, you have to be able to change. You have to be nimble. There are no guarantees in this world, and it's always hard. You know, so, you know, it is what it is. But listen, We have 15 minutes. Last weekend was the big Memorial Day weekend.
Right. Wonderful
weekend.
We had a beautiful
day Saturday. I was out on a bike ride, went to Fiesta Hermosa. Anyway, this weekend we have several fun events coming up. I'm going to just start on this, and we can go through it fairly quickly. Beach City's Health District is celebrating National Senior Health and Fitness Day for the week from May 30th to June 2nd. So tomorrow is the last day of this. But they're offering free classes, group exercise, yoga, Pilates, health assessment, screenings, et cetera. And it's all free. So, you know, today and tomorrow, the last days
right.
of that. So check that out, Beach City's Health District Center for Health and Fitness. So that ends tomorrow. Now, a big annual event happening this weekend starting Friday. Friends of Redondo Beach Arts present the annual CA 101 Art Exhibit, June 2nd through June 11th. All right. The opening night artist reception is taking place Friday, June 2nd from 5 to 10 p.m. And it's they're going to be using the space at 219 Avenue I in Riviera Village. It's the old Denise furniture location. So that's opening night is Friday. They're going to have a wine tasting by the Boisset Collection that is going to happen on Monday evening, June 5th at 6 p.m. Tickets for the event are $50 a person. And they'll also be doing a TEDx Redondo Beach. It's called Documented, the Photographic Effect, and that's going to happen on Wednesday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Tickets are $15, $20, and $25 and can be purchased on the Eventbrite page. So
right.
That's always a great show. That's always a great show. Nina and Sandra do a great great job curating that show, and I go every year. It's fabulous. So it starts this Friday, everybody.
Very good. Very good. I love Fridays now.
Until you get a farmer's market day.
Right. Well, now I do. I'm doing the Hermosa Farmer's Market on Fridays now, starting next week.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
And that is the first farmer's market for our family. I mean, we had a house at 531 11th Street, which is across the street from that farmer's market. And so my children basically grew up at that farmer's market. And it's kind of nostalgic, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Well, the other
yeah.
thing, another couple of – we got a couple of ocean-centric events taking place. The annual Roundhouse Aquarium Fun Run for the Oceans happens on Saturday, June 3rd. It's a 5K, family-friendly run-walk. Starts at 9:30 a.m. at the Manhattan Beach Pier. You can go to roundhouseaquarium.org and get all the information for that. And Sea Lab is doing festivities. It's Shark Week on Saturday, June 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can see and touch live sharks. And there's going to be activities, games, and crafts, and the daily fish feeding.
Yeah.
And then this is right up my alley. South Bay Galleria is hosting a Glam Squad beauty event on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. All right. It's a free beauty event in partnership with Glam Squad. It's going to feature touch-up services for hair, makeup, and nails. And they're going to have bites and sips and a raffle and beauty bags and a lot more. There's going to be gift baskets for a raffle, henna tattoos, entertainment, and a whole bunch of stuff. And, again, it's free. It's Saturday, June 3rd. From 11 to 2 p.m.
Awesome.
Now, I have to ask
awesome.
You about this next event, the annual Manhattan Wine Auction. It's going to happen
right.
on Saturday, June 3rd at 4:30 at the Manhattan Country Club. Have you ever been to that?
I think I have been to one, but it's been a while, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Okay. All right. I've never
yes.
been to it, but they have over 2,000 attendees.
There's an office building in the same parking lot, sort of complex as the Manhattan Beach Country Club, and I used to work there many years ago, and it's a great event, amazing event, not cheap.
No, but it's all proceeds benefit the Manhattan Beach Ed Foundation. It's their big fundraiser of the year, and
right.
it's a big general admission tickets are $300. And there are,
right,
like VIP tickets for $500 per person. So that's happening. And that sells out pretty quick. If you didn't get your ticket to that yet, I think you're going to be left out in the cold. But what we were going to talk about today with our guests that we couldn't get a hold of, Depot Productions presents the annual Triple B Romp and Stomp on Sunday, June 4th, from noon to 6 p.m. It's going to be in the Depot parking lot. It's a very popular event, features bourbon, beer, barbecue, and blues bands. Performances by the All Nighters, featuring San Pedro Slim, Blue Daddy, Nasty Bad Habit, Tres Hombres, and other special guests. Now, if you're not a bourbon drinker, you know, microbrews, wine, and alternative drinks will be available. Gold-level tickets are $100 and include all-you-can-eat drink and jam with front table seating and cocktail service. And there's silver-level level tickets for $75. There may still be tickets available for that. So so if you want to do something fun on Sunday afternoon, that sounds like a nice way to spend a Sunday. And this is funny. This just kind of snuck up. You know, Lunada Bay Homeowners Association does a summer concert series every year, but they generally start later in the summer. I think they usually did them. They just did them in August, but this year they're doing it all summer long, and it starts this Sunday, June 4th. It's funny. They're gonna have a plaque dedication for former city council members. And after the plaque dedication, they're going to have Hollywood U2, which is a U2 tribute band, playing the first summer concert. And that's, Lunada Bay Park. So gosh, if it's nice out, that'll be so much fun to go to.
That sounds like a great time. I agree.
Yeah, it's funny. I just got this a couple of days ago, the information, because I have a master list of annual events, so I can always look ahead and see what's coming up, and I know who to contact to get the information if they don't send it to me in time. But yeah, they're starting early this year, and Hollywood U2 cover band this Sunday at Lunada Bay Park. And one last thing I want to mention, and this is something I've been meaning to do for a long time. I finally posted a list of the South Bay craft beer breweries. I started, about 5 years ago, keeping a list of them, because Strand Brewing's been open for about 9 years. And then over the next, it took a couple of years, but other people, started opening their own breweries. Now I think we've got like 11, and I'm just talking breweries. You know, I'm not talking about brew pubs. Like Redondo Beach Brewing Company or Manhattan Beach Brewing Company. You know, there are a lot of bars that brew their own stuff. Abigail. I'm just talking breweries, and we have 11 of them here in the South Bay. And I've just posted the information, and it's on my website, and it will be on there permanently on the ongoing events. But, it's become a thing for me now. Whenever I have out of town guests, I always plan one night to go to at least one brewery. It's just fun. I mean, you can do more than one. You know, they do beer tours too. You know, there's a couple of beer tours, where you could hit several of them. If you want to get a group of your friends and Uber, you could hit all of them. That's a fun thing. That's a fun thing to do. It's a fun, and it's casual, and I love it. So that comprehensive list is now up on my website.
Awesome. We are getting close to the end, and we haven't talked about the Casino for a Cause.
Oh yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about
the second annual Casino for a Cause will take place on Saturday, June 3rd, from 6 to 10 p.m. At the Toyota Automobile Museum. It's sure to be a night of fun, games, fast cars, and prizes, all to benefit a great cause. I really, really enjoy this concept of you basically are donating $100, but then you get to play a game, and you can win or lose. That's fun. But the key is that it's not just donating $100. You're gonna actually use it in the process of playing these casino games. Have a great time. you're going to see some amazing cars. And I think it's just what a great evening. What a great way to spend your evening.
It is, but
it's
there
like
is
going,
one.
Playing... What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Well, it's like going to a costume party or a dress-up party. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it is fun, but it's a little sad on the other hand because, from what I understand, that Toyota Automobile Museum is going to be closing this summer. I think this is going to be one of the last few events that are going to be held there. They're going to be shutting that down.
Right, right. Well, they won't be here.
That's right. Yeah, they won't be here. They're not going to leave their nice museum and all those cars with us. They're probably going to take them to Texas.
You think they're going to take the cars with them to Texas?
Probably. They're not going to leave them here.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Again, the theme of this today's show has been change. Change, 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 right? Things change.
Right. And
Toyota was a big part of the South Bay, of Torrance in particular. You know, they were very supportive of the community. Very, very good, partner, you know, with the city, with the cultural center and other events and Ed foundations and stuff. And they're not going to be here anymore. You know, we're losing that.
Right. Right. And this is where it gets real, though, I think, for obviously a lot of people who work for Toyota. They're already many of them have already moved to Texas. Many of them have already bought homes, sold homes. So their lives have changed radically and you know, or they've changed jobs and they've gotten new jobs with different companies because they're not going to make the move. But when you talk about the community, I think it really comes home when you're talking about the Toyota Automobile Museum moving. Because that venue is used for Relay for Life. My wife is really involved with the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life movement. And we have a lot of our events at that Toyota Automobile Museum, and now that won't be there anymore. So it'll make a difference, no doubt.
Yeah, a lot of organizations use that venue, a lot. And it's no longer going to be available for it. And that, you know, change, change, change. Speaking of change, you know, that Toyota campus, you know, we'll see what happens with that, you know.
Right, right. Oh, boy. Here we go. More change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been fun, Jackie.
Yeah, we have to apologize to everybody that was tuning in looking to listen to Chef Schaefer. I was looking forward to it.
Right.
So we'll have to reschedule him, but I wanted to get all the details on the Triple B Romp and Stomp. So, I apologize for you know, not having our guest and everybody having to listen to us rant.
Right. But maybe it'll start conversations at home, and we hope that's true.
Yeah.
It's all about conversations and about good news. I want to leave everyone with that point that there's a lot of good news in the world. Don't just focus on what's going wrong. Try to weed through the if it bleeds, it leads. Try to weed through that emphasis that the general media has and focus on what's going right. And there are a lot of things that are going right. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
And we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. We got a great show lined up for tomorrow. Unbelievable organization. We're going to have its performance pop. What is
Putting on Productions.
All right. So we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye-bye.